Mike Malloy here. Thank you for tuning in tonight. It's about 7 past the hour. Boy, where to begin on the events of the past 72 hours, huh? I hope you had time to take a look at Zeitgeist and or Zeitgeist Addendum, your homework assignment over the weekend, if you remember. We will have a moment with Bob this evening that references that in an indirect or direct or oblique or not oblique kind of way. You figure it out. Scott Roeder, the man who murdered Dr. Tillman while Dr. Tillman was in a church performing his duties as an usher, and his wife was behind the podium in the choir. Scott Roeder, well, I know he hasn't been convicted yet, but I frankly don't give a damn. This guy is, he's the one who did it. He has been arrested. He is in custody. He has an interesting history, not the least of which is, without a doubt, being jerked into his form of insanity by Bill O'Reilly at Fox News. We'll get to that in a moment also. He is, Scott Roeder's 51 years old, and he was arrested about 3 hours after the shooting. Dr. Tilley was shot to death around 10 a.m. inside the Reformation Lutheran Church in Wichita. Those who know Roeder said he believed that killing abortion doctors was an act of justifiable homicide. See, that term abortion doctors pisses me off to the same degree, or maybe even more so, than the term gay marriage. You know, a doctor is a doctor. A marriage is a marriage. So you'll forgive me if I don't refer to Dr. Tiller as the mainstream media refers to him, an abortion doctor. What the hell is an abortion doctor? There are physicians, some of whom, under extreme situations, will honor their Hippocratic oath and perform surgical procedure known as an abortion. So there is no such thing as gay marriage. There is no such thing as an abortion doctor. And if you believe otherwise, I suggest you're brainwashed. Roeder was a subscriber to something called Prayer and Action News, a magazine, quote, quote, that advocated killing people. The publisher is a fanatic named Dave Leach, who lives in Des Moines, Iowa. Leach said he met Roeder in Topeka, Kansas, when he went there to visit Shelley Shannon, who is in prison for the 1993 shooting of Dr. Tiller. Remember, this doctor had been shot before, twice, in both of his arms. His family had been threatened. His life had been threatened. But he had something that right-wingers, especially the swine, the scum, the filth that's on right-wing media in this country don't understand, and that is courage. Dr. Tiller was not doing anything wrong. He was, on occasion, when requested, under certain circumstances, performing a surgical procedure known as an abortion. I didn't know Dr. Tiller, but I've known a lot of people on the pro-privacy side of the aisle. And remember, Roe v. Wade was a question about a woman's right to privacy, not anyone's right to abortion or not to abortion. It was about privacy, and within the confines of privacy or within the parameters of privacy, whether or not a woman had a right in consultation with her physician and her own frame of mind, I guess, and one would hope the male who is assisted in the pregnancy, if the woman had a right to privacy, a blanket of privacy over a decision to terminate a pregnancy. That's what Roe v. Wade was about. But there are people in this country that say no. No, that's not what it's about. Shelley Shannon, who was in prison for the 1993 shooting of Tiller, and Dave Leach, the publisher of Prayer and Action News that advocates murder, a publication that advocates murder, went to visit Shelley Shannon. Leach said he met Roeder then, and Leach says, quote, he told me about a lot of conspiracy stuff and showed me how to take the magnetic strip out of a $5 bill. He said it was to keep the government from tracking your money, end quote. Roeder, in the 1990s, also was involved in the so-called free men movement. That was a term adopted by those who claimed sovereignty from any type of laws or government jurisdiction. They operated under their own legal system, which was called, they called common law courts. They declared themselves exempt from laws, regulations, and taxes. And often filed liens against judges, prosecutors, and other people, claiming that money was owed to them as compensation because they had to live in a society that was regulated. Judy Thomas at the Kansas City Star, which is a McClatchy newspaper, has all this at the Kansas City Star website today. In April 1996, Mr. Roeder was arrested in Topeka after the sheriff's deputies there stopped him for not having a proper license plate. But in his car, the cops said they found ammunition, a blasted cap, fuse cord, 1-pound can of gunpowder, 2 9-volt batteries with one connected to a switch that could have been used to trigger a bomb. Jim Jimerson, supervisor of the Kansas City ATF's bomb and arson unit, worked on the case. And Jimerson said at the time, quote, there wasn't enough there to blow up a building, but it could make several powerful pipe bombs. There was definitely enough there to kill somebody, end quote. Now, Roeder was stopped because he had an improper license plate that read sovereign private property, immunity declared by law, non-commercial American, end quote. Okay. That was the type of license plate used by the so-called freemen. Roeder was arraigned on one count of criminal use of explosives and misdemeanor charges of driving on a suspended license, failure to carry a Kansas registration, failure to carry liability insurance. He was found guilty, sentenced in June 1996 to 24 months of probation and ordered to dissociate himself from the anti-government groups that advocated violence. But in December 1997, year and a half later, his probation ended 6 months early when the Kansas Court of Appeals overturned his conviction. The court held the evidence against Roeder was seized by authorities during an illegal search of his car. Of course, if they would have found marijuana in his car, the court would have upheld the search. We all know that, don't we? Morris Wilson, who is the commander of the Kansas Unorganized Citizens Militia in the mid-1990s, said he knew Roeder fairly well. He said, quote, I'd say he's a good old boy, except he was just so fanatic about abortion. He was always talking about how awful abortion was. Suzanne James, former director of Victims Services for Shawnee County in Kansas, said she remembers Roeder. She says, quote, he was part of the One Supreme Court, a Freeman group based out of Shawnee County. He was fanatic about a lot of things. I went to one of his court appearances and thought, this guy's dangerous. There are a lot of red flags that came up about him, end quote. In recent years, someone using the name Scott Roeder, gee, it might have been him, has posted anti-Dr. Tiller comments on various internet sites. One post dated September 3rd, 2007, and placed on a site sponsored by Operation Rescue called chargetiller.com, said that Tiller needed to be, quote, stopped, end quote. The post went on to say, Roeder's post went on to say, quote, it seems as though what is happening in Kansas could be compared to the lawlessness which is spoken of in the Bible. Tiller is the concentration camp Mengele of our day and needs to be stopped before he and those who protect him bring judgment upon our nation, end quote. Well, on Sunday, Mr. Roeder decided to make sure that judgment was not brought upon our nation by a doctor performing services for which he was trained and licensed to perform.
And watts of free speech. It's Mike Malloy.
And 22 past the hour. There is no question in my mind that Fox News and Bill Riley are partly responsible for this murder today, and that Bill Riley, O'Reilly, constitutes part of a terrorist cell that is operating in American media, and that would be Fox News Channel. And I don't care what definition you use of terrorism, but I watched a little bit of O'Reilly tonight. I just simply cannot go to Fox News Channel. But I watched a little bit, and to look at the smug, kind of supercilious, patronizing attitude that O'Reilly displayed on his program tonight was just a little bit more than I could take. So I bailed out as quickly as I could, but we're going to play a little sound for you. I agree with some of the bloggers today. Turkana at, where's this? Think Progress, who said that the people who fanned the flames of hatred against Dr. George Tiller bear particular responsibility for having helped to incite Sunday's act of domestic terrorism. And Gabriel Winant in Salon wrote, there is no other person who bears as much responsibility for the characterization of Tiller as a savage on the loose, killing babies willy-nilly, thanks to the collusion of would-be sophisticated cultural allies, a bought-and-paid-for governor, and a scofflaw secular journalist. Tiller's name first appeared on The Factor, the O'Reilly Factor, in February of 2005. Since then, O'Reilly and his guest host have brought up the doctor on 28 more occasions, including as recently as April 27th of this year. Almost invariably, Tiller is described as Tiller the baby killer. O'Reilly liked to say, quote, that Tiller, quote, destroys fetuses for just about any reason right up until the birth date for $5,000. Jesus Christ. O'Reilly also likes to say he's guilty of, quote, Nazi stuff. He suggested on another program, quote, this is the kind of stuff happened in Mao's China, Hitler's Germany, Stalin's Soviet Union, end quote. It just goes on and on. And O'Reilly doesn't limit his bloodlust to Tiller. again, from Salon, quote, this is where it gets most troubling. O'Reilly's language describing Tiller and accusing the state and its elites of complicity in his actions could become extremely vivid. On June 12, 2007, O'Reilly said, quote, yes, I think we all know what this is. And if the state of Kansas doesn't stop this man, then anybody who prevents that from happening has blood on their hands, as the governor does right now, Governor Sebelius, end quote. And 3 days later, O'Reilly said, quote, no question, Dr. Tiller has blood on his hands. So But now so does Governor Sebelius. She is not fit to serve, nor is any Kansas politician who supports Tiller's business of destruction. I wouldn't want to be these people if there is a judgment day. I just, you know, this is a disgrace upon everyone who lives in Kansas, end quote. So what do we call O'Reilly for what he is? I don't understand why anyone listens or watches O'Reilly or Beck or Limbaugh or Hannity. What does it take to get it across to so many Americans that these people constitute a form of domestic terrorism that is punishing this country every chance it gets? I mean, these guys are just, they're the typical kind of cowards. Have you ever seen any of these pigs out at an anti-abortion demonstration? When was the last time Bill O'Reilly appeared in front of a clinic where there may or may not have been abortions being performed as a matter of legal medical procedure? When's the last time O'Reilly was ever out there carrying a sign? How about Hannity? How about Limbaugh? How about any of these pigs? But they don't do that. This is the typical coward's maneuver. They incite people who are just hanging on by a thread to begin with. You know, you take enough of this militia crap and this Jesus crap and this Christian fundamentalist crap and this rapture crap, and the government's out to put magnetic stripes in your ass crap, and put all this stuff together, and people who are already have a shaky grip on reality just collapse. And when they collapse, they pick up a gun and go kill somebody. Whoever Riley or Bernard Goldberg or Sean Hannity or Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh tells them to go kill. So how much longer are we going to allow domestic terrorists like O'Reilly continue to operate? I mean, does anyone have an answer to that? Overturn the order of the soul.
Truth seekers, gather round the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
Here comes the woman, the look in her eye. Wrist on leather, with flesh on the mind.
It's about 25 before the hour. I want to play for you a, it's about a minute and a half here, kind of a montage of O'Reilly's comments. And thanks to the people at Daily Coast for assembling this. This is O'Reilly demonizing Dr. George Tiller at least 29 times. This domestic terrorist, O'Reilly, brought this guy up. O'Reilly was as obsessed with this man as he is with gay marriage. O'Reilly, you know, I don't know how else and gay marriage is his term, not mine. I don't know how else to characterize Bill O'Reilly if somebody were to ask me. He is a terrorist. He operates out of a media terrorist organization, and that is Fox News Channel, that continues to flood the television airwaves with lies, misstatements, half-truths, continues to hire people whose goal is to destroy the country, absolutely destroy the United States. That's what these people are involved in. But as long as people continue to watch Fox News Channel, as long as advertisers continue to throw money, which will be forever, it'll just go on. There is no way to stop it. There's no way to stop this whatsoever. But at least to be aware of it, I think, is important. Here are some cuts. You'll hear various people. I think General Glenn Beck makes an appearance here, and some of the bubble-headed blondes on Fox News Channel jumping in with comments here and there. So here it is from the O'Reilly Factor.
In the state of Kansas, there is a doctor, George Tiller, who will execute babies for $5,000. Dr. George Tiller, known as Tiller the Baby Killer. Tiller the Baby Killer, as some call him. Dr. George Tiller in Kansas, known as Tiller the Baby Killer. Dr. George Tiller, known as Tiller the Baby Killer. Tiller the Baby Killer. The notorious Tiller the Baby Killer. I want a George Tiller, Tiller the Baby Killer going, hey, oh, I can make more money killing babies now. Tiller is executing fetuses in his Wichita clinic for $5,000. Tiller performs scores, perhaps thousands, as we reported. Tiller aborts thousands of babies pretty much for any reason. This man will terminate fetuses at any time for $5,000. If you want to kill a baby, you hire Tiller, you got to pay him $5,000 up front, and he'll kill the baby. Dr. George Tiller destroys fetuses for just about any reason right up until the birth date. This man is executing babies about to be born, killing babies who are about to be born. George Tiller, okay, can kill a baby a half hour before the baby's supposed to be birthed for no reason whatsoever other than the mother has a pain in her foot. Dr. Tiller has blood on his hands. But now, so does Governor Sebelius. She doesn't seem to be real upset about this guy operating a death mill. Doesn't get worse than that. This is the absolute shame of America. That a man like that could openly operate in the USA is troubling, to say the least. I wouldn't want to be these people if there is a judgment day.
You see, he performs murder of fetuses if the mother has a pain in her foot. There are very clear guidelines set up by, in this particular case, the state of Kansas, when a late-term abortion can be performed. And Dr. Tiller provided these procedures and services within the framework of the law. O'Reilly is a filthy son of a bitch who is a coward, an absolute coward. And he inspires people, as I said, who have such a tenuous grip on reality to begin with, to go out and do bad things. That's what a cowardly piece of human waste like O'Reilly does. That's what all of these right-wing commentators do. Just like that pissy little coward, Sean Hannity. Remember when he was going to be waterboarded for charity? For a veterans organization or something. Remember that? Whatever happened to that? His buddy Mankow in Chicago did it. It lasted for 7 seconds. Hannity, O'Reilly, the pig man, all of them, they just define cowardice. That's easily understood, I think. I don't know how they can consider themselves to be men, because they're not. I don't mean men as opposed to women. I just mean men. Ben writes, my question, Mike, is when does it cross the line from O'Reilly's opinion that Tiller would be better off dead and become a request to his followers to do it? When does it become King Henry saying, well, no one rid me of this meddlesome priest, which, as you know, resulted in the assassination of Thomas Becket? And what would become of you or I, do you suppose, were we to say that the air would smell a lot sweeter if Loofah Boy were pushing up daisies? Right, we'd have the law on us like white on rice, Ben. Yeah, that's one of the reasons that I avoid, even though the moronic right-wingers who send me emails say, well, you talking about Republicans ought to be killed. No, you dumbasses. I do not say that. What I say is the Republican Party needs to be murdered, executed, hanged, throttled, waterboarded, stuffed in a hole and gotten rid of. But you don't quite make the distinction, do you, you moron right-wingers, you? Jesus. Christina Page, writing at Huffington Post today, said, for those who would like to think today's murder or yesterday's murder in church of Dr. George Tiller is an isolated incident, here's the horrifying news. You're wrong. The pattern is clear and frightening. In March 1993, 3 months into the administration of our first pro-choice president, Bill Clinton, abortion provider Dr. David Gunn was murdered in Pensacola, Florida. That was the beginning of what would become a five-fold increase in violence against abortion providers throughout the Clinton years. Sunday's assassination of Dr. Tiller comes 5 months into the term of our second pro-choice president. For anyone who would like to believe that this is a statistical anomaly, a coincidence that doesn't portend anything, again, you're wrong. During the entire Bush administration, from 2000 to 2008, there were no murders of abortion providers. During the Clinton era between 1994 and 2000, there were 6 abortion providers and clinic staff members murdered and 17 attempted murders of abortion providers. There were 12 bombings or arsons during the Clinton years. During the Bush administration, not only were there no murders, there were no attempted murders. There was one clinic bombing during the Bush years. One can only conclude that extremists have been set in motion again. In the last year of the Bush administration, there were 396 harassing calls to abortion clinics. In just the first 4 months of the Obama administration, that number has jumped to 1,401. And so the murder of Dr. Tiller is not only tragic, but ominous. He was born into an era when being an abortion provider meant saving women's lives. And the cold-blooded murder in church and in front of his wife of this defender of women's rights and beloved physician comes as a message for others, as well as tragic deja vu. Battered women are at greatest danger of being killed by their abusers when they are most strong. That is, when they muster the courage to leave. The same phenomenon must be true in the abusive political abortion debate. The pro-choice movement, specifically our abortion providers, are in the greatest danger of violence when we take power, as in the Obama administration. When the anti-abortion movement loses power, their most extreme elements appear to move to the fore and take control. So the murder of Dr. Tiller suggests that violence against abortion providers may be far more linked to the power or lack thereof anti-abortion groups have politically than to laws designed to increase penalties against such acts. It's pretty gruesome in this country right now, isn't it? I'm so sick of this American Taliban. I really am. That's Dave Lindorf today writing at Buzzflash. Said the abortion doctor, his words, is a victim of America's Taliban. He says that the murder of Dr. Tiller demonstrates once again that the U.S. is not all that different from Pakistan. And he makes an interesting point. Dave Lindorf does, and I want to share that with you when we come back after this break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Straight to fiery hell.
watches C-SPAN so you don't have to. It's More Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. So Dave Lindorf, writing at BuzzFlash about the Dr. Tiller being another victim of America's Taliban, and he Lindorf suggests that the U.S. is not all that different from Pakistan in certain respects, and I agree. One thing that these two violent societies share, Lindorf writes, is having a group of rabid religious fundamentalists who are each on a jihad against those in their nation with whom they disagree and who are ready to kill and maim their enemies without mercy or hesitation. And the other thing, perhaps the more dangerous thing that they share, is a government apparatus in which certain elements are overtly or surreptitiously supportive of the jihadists and in which other elements are cowed into silence and inaction. In Pakistan, it's the Taliban that had the tacit support of some elements within Pakistan's military, the police and intelligence services, and political parties. Those elements in Pakistan encourage, assist, and protect Taliban terrorists in their attacks on the larger society. That's another reason, this is me speaking, not Lindorf, that's another reason we will never, ever, under any circumstances, short of all-out nuclear war against them, we will never, ever, ever turn Pakistan or Afghanistan into what the past four, five, six presidents have tried to do. It's not going to happen. Lindorf goes on, in the U.S., groups such as Operation Rescue and other militant anti-abortion groups and the violent American jihadists who are attracted to them have terrorized women seeking abortions or abortion counseling and have terrorized the doctors and nurses who have bravely tried to provide women with the health care they want and need, including the constitutionally protected right to an abortion. And political officials such as Philip Klein, attorney general in Kansas from 2000 to 2006, and who during that time repeatedly harassed and initiated criminal investigations against Dr. Tiller and his women's health clinic in Wichita, are the ones who incite these groups to violence. Randall Terry, founder of Operation Rescue, even after Tiller's murder, called the victim, who was murdered as he handed out brochures at his church. Randall Terry called this guy a mass murderer, an evil man whose hands were covered with blood. And this is the kind of inflammatory rhetoric that leads unbalanced and fanatic individuals to turn to violence. And political charlatans such as Randall Terry, every bit as much as Mullah Omar in Afghanistan, they all know this. Consider this. When a newspaper in War and Peace a few days ago, remember I mentioned it to you, ran a classified ad in which someone wrote, "May Obama follow in the steps of Lincoln, Garfield, McKinley, and Kennedy." Remember that? Four predecessors who were all assassinated. And the Secret Service promptly initiated an investigation into the man who had bought the ad because, you know, it's against the law to threaten to kill the president. Now, there was no suggestion that the person who put the classified ad had any intention of assassinating the president himself, but the Secret Service was acknowledging the danger such an ad posed in terms of inciting someone else to violence. Yet, when Randall Terry calls Tiller a mass murderer, how is that different from the sentiment that was in the classified ad? How's it different? How different, too, are the prayers that anti-abortion leaders have been offering at public gatherings in which they call for God to close down Dr. Tiller's clinic? You know, we're being eaten alive in this country by these religious sons of bitches who I really do believe that they are such a threat to civilization. In the first place, they always have been. I mean, when the Dark Ages Christians were in full flower, the entire continent of Europe was just plunged backwards into an abyss from which it almost didn't emerge. Who kept art and music and dance and science and math and astronomy going? Yeah, the Arabs. Can you believe that? Huh? The Muslims. I think one of the biggest threats to civilization, to health, of individual health, mental health, the health of the planet, that one of the biggest threats to all that is this Christian religion. It is a murderous, degenerate blood cult. And if you look at its history, it has done nothing, nothing except inject the human race with fear and loathing, contempt, disrespect, murderous rage. It's incredible. And yet there's not a single member. Is there? I don't think there's a single member of the House or the Senate, judicial branch, executive branch, legislative branch, who will come out and say, no, religion is a bunch of garbage. It's a bunch of filth that just absolutely destroys the human spirit. It doesn't promote it or feed it or encourage it. It destroys it, ends it, slams it against the ground. Not a single leader in America will make that very simple, direct, factual statement. Why? Are all these people, 535 members of the House and Senate, the entire federal judiciary, the entire executive branch, are they all Christian or Jews or Muslims? Are all of them? Every single one? I guess so, right? Is there a single humanist who will say this is garbage? I guess not. Okay, we'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Did you catch the...
Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. Past hour, we've been focusing on the murder of Dr. George Tiller, the doctor who was murdered by another right-wing fanatic inspired by Fox News Channel and the kind of so-called Christian rhetoric that floods the airwaves these days. Spitfire writes, it used to be a time when a church would ask their congregation to pray to their cloud critter to, quote, touch the soul, end quote, of someone, to, quote, see the light, end quote, and stop their, quote, sinful ways, end quote. Now they just call these people evil and turn their gun-wielding congregation loose on them. By the way, Spitfire writes, I have to repeat that the so-called code the Republicans use with all of their baby killer rhetoric is to tell the faithful that the Democrats are actually performing blood sacrifices to Satan. I really hate these people. Spitfire. Yeah. It's very disturbing to me, aside from the horror of a man being murdered, a doctor being murdered, a husband, father, grandfather being murdered because he performs medical procedures that some find they can't agree with and label those procedures something that they are not. These are the same people who would say that stem cell research is also a crime, something to be stopped from doing. What is so particularly upsetting to me is this attitude in this country. In so many areas, so much of what we are involved in has been so polluted by religion. Just so undermined and polluted and ripped and torn and debased. Whether it is attempts to poison the textbooks that children and high school kids use in school with this creationist horse crap, or to interfere in medical procedures or medical research, or to deny science, to deny biology, paleontology, geology, geography. It's astonishing what religion, you know. Carl Sagan warned about this before he died with his book, The Demon Haunted World. You can decide for yourself if the demons he was referring to were the people who preach this filthy, nonsensical garbage that passes as religion. Oh, man. This comes in from no name. Chris? Okay, Chris. Yesterday, we witnessed yet another politically motivated violent terrorist attack by the ultra-conservative American far right. Are we now ready, finally, as a nation, to recognize right-wing political violence for exactly what it is, domestic terrorism, and condemn and counter it accordingly? When was the last time the left committed acts of domestic terrorism? Several decades ago? Today, it's not the left that's committing the violence. It's the right. Will those more balanced conservatives within the ranks of corporate media pundits and the general public now finally become willing to acknowledge the seriousness of the insanity in their midst and demand action to chase away this rising specter? Well, we finally see current right-wing bully culture and conservative wacko media pundit nuttiness like Limbaugh, Hannity, O'Reilly, Beck, Savage, Liddy, and so forth for what it is, namely a true and dangerous threat that is, in fact, encouraging and spawning violence and terrorism in America? Remember when the report came out about right-wing terrorism and, here it is. Yeah, Chris and Warren PA brought this up. I'll get to that in a second. But remember all the insanity that about Barack Obama and William Ayers because they happen to sit on a board together? Remember all that? William Ayers, the guy who never bombed anything, but who was a member of the Weather Underground faction, whose members had, in fact, attempted to blow up the military-industrial complex, one or two of its billions of tentacles. Remember all that? And the rhetoric against Obama being linked to terrorists. Why don't they, being the pundits, these sons of bitches who operate television, why don't they focus on real terrorism, real acts of murder like what happened today? Or Sunday. Chris and Warren PA writes, Mike, I read that you'd be discussing the Tiller murder on the show tonight, and I thought I'd throw in my two cents. Remember when the Department of Homeland Security issued a report that was started under the Bush administration and only finished and released under the leadership of Janet Napolitano, a report detailing the threat of right-wing terrorism? I can still hear the screams and cries of the right because they're still echoing in the vacuum of idiocy that they've created within their party. Listen closely, and by God, you can still hear them. Freedom of speech, fascism, Orwell, thought crimes, Obama youth. Right-wing talk radio created a scenario in which conservatives would be sitting down at the dinner table, at which point armed soldiers from the Obama Red Army would storm in, throw hoods over their heads, and take them to a re-education camp to be trained as Muslim atheists. Right-wing terrorism? The conservatives scoffed. What about left-wing terrorism? Because tree huggers and animal lovers, you know, pose the real threat to society in the mind of the right-winger. The rest of us, the brutal slaying of Dr. George Tiller is proof positive that the reactionary right-wing will stop at nothing, not even terrorism and murder, to achieve their political goals, which revolves around banning queers and abortion and so on and so forth. The motive, Chris writes, is so-called pro-life, right? Murders were being committed by the evil, satanic, fire-breathing baby killer, Dr. George Tiller, and one pro-lifer decided to take the matter in his own hands, destroying life to save life. See? It makes perfect sense. These pro-lifers are antithetical to life. They hate women. They hate children. They hate welfare. They hate America. They embrace the death penalty and war and torture. Their sole purpose in life, the drive behind their pro-life cause, is the fetus. Life begins to them at conception and ends at birth. This is how the pro-lifers think, and some of them feel that it's their mission to kill others. Much like some Christians of the same mindset feel that it is their mission to carry out the biblical command to kill homosexuals. These crazed lunatics are all cut from the same cloth, and they all worship the same vengeful God who loves to soak his enemies in blood. This is radical Christianity. This is right-wing terrorism. These are Republicans. Republicans and right-wing Christians breed hatred and violence and death. That's what defines the Republican Party. That's what defines the religious right. Chris, Warren, PA. Yeah, it's true. But, you know, freedom of speech and freedom of religion and all that. If somebody wants to bow down and worship a three-legged stool every 7 days, I guess that person has the right to do that. It's when the person picks up the stool and starts bashing in heads and saying, I do this in the name of stool, that we usually have them committed, don't we? So when people start committing murder in the name of cloud spooks and hairy thunderers and creatures that pop up out of snakes' bellies or whatever the hell the mythology is, we treat that as though it deserves respect. That's pretty astonishing.
It does not exist. It is existence itself. It does not know. It is knowledge itself. How to Know God, page 130.
They brainwashed my great uncle, brainwashed my cousin Bob. They even got my grandma when she was working for the mob. Brainwash you while you're sleeping, while in your traffic jam. Brainwash you while you're weeping, while still a baby in your pram. Brainwashed by the military, brainwashed under duress. Brainwashed by the media, you're brainwashed by the press. Brainwashed by computer, brainwashed by mobile phones. Brainwashed by the...
Once I had everything, I gave it up. For the shoulder of your driveway and the words I've never told. And so for you, I came this far across the tracks, 10 miles above the limit.
Arm yourself with the truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
And I did again. For tonight, I went running.
21 past
the
hour.
Doors of
I think I've had enough of talking about these right-wing freaks, especially the Christians and the religious people. I can remember very clearly the very careful brainwashing that was perpetrated against me when I was a kid, to the extent that I vowed never to do it to my children and never did. Brainwashing into believing that my very soul, A, existed, B, was condemned to eternal hell and poison unless I believed a certain way. And it took so long to get free of that. I can remember a song I learned as a kid. Jesus loves the little children, all the little children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. God will keep them in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And I used to think to myself when I got a little bit older, how did they sing that song in the religious institutions in the South, the Christian churches in the South, when black folk were regularly lynched and beaten, and black children were treated like so much scum on the bottom of a white man's shoe? Did they sing that song in those Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterian churches in the South back in the 50s and 40s? Jesus loved all the little children, red and yellow, black. Did they? Did they really do that? Were they saying then, if they sang that song, that their hypocrisy was just so enormous that even they couldn't see it? It was too big to see. The damage that is done to a person who is absorbed into a religion before that person can even think is incalculable. You know, you look at this, all the stuff that is the guy's name, George Schaefer, whatever his name is, the the son of the man and woman who more or less began the religious right in this country, who has completely disavowed all of it now. And one wonders why it took him so long. But I understand everybody's got to be on their own path to get free of this nonsense. But it's horrifying to me. It is horrifying that without a second thought, so many parents in this country they have a baby and you know, they start taking the baby into a church. And if the kid is indoctrinated in that church, by the time the child is six or seven, what the hell chance has that kid ever got of getting free without this enormous struggle against this crazed superstition? And to make it just incalculable, incalculably worse, children who brought up in fundamentalist Christian churches, the ones where the average IQ of any member of the congregation is probably 94, and the IQ of the preacher might be 99 or 100. And these poor little kids who truly are born in such innocence, of course, the Christian church doesn't teach you that. Every one of these little babies are just born in sin. They're just corrupt and polluted and vile and are going to burn in hell unless at some point in their little kid lives they go through this superstitious ritual of chanting stuff about a corpse and agree to drink the corpse's blood and eat the corpse's flesh. Oh my God. I mean, it is shocking. How many children in this country does that happen to? How many adults keep doing this? What is the problem? Why do we have millions of people in this country who are so terrified of life and death that they go to this extreme? I can't understand it. I just know that it is poisonous. And if you go back through, even predate Christianity, Christianity is not the only villain. It is just the most active villain in this country. But predating Christianity, I mean, just keep going back as far as you want to, in order to satisfy these bloodthirsty gods and sky beings, you know, death cults and murdering children and butchering people on altars. I mean, God in heaven, so to speak. What is that? Well, I will tell you this, and I'll try to get away from the topic and move on when we come back. But I am just so glad that I was able to cast that off of me. You ought to try it. You ought to try living without that just bottomless pit of fear and self-revulsion and disgust. You ought to try it.
The primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
It's 25 before the hour. Before I let this go, Mark in Fort Worth, Texas writes in, Mike, the likes of Bill O'Reilly have long complained that what abortion doctors do is, quote, like what happened in Nazi Germany, end quote. But the fact is the Nazis outlawed abortion in the first year of power in 1933. And then Mark sends me a link here from the lifeissues.net, which is subtitled Clear Thinking About Crucial Issues. And this particular paper is The Abortion and Eugenics Policies of Nazi Germany. Thanks, Mark. I will definitely read this in its entirety tonight after the program. But it was, you know, it was the Nazis that confiscated the guns. It was the Nazis that outlawed abortion. It was the Nazis that sent homosexuals to their deaths. It was the Nazis that executed the Jews. And these were Christians. These were Christians, Hitler and his inner circle. And I know an attempt has been made to make them out to be pagans. But they, if there is any truth to that, they were Christian pagans. So anytime the Nazis are used by the right-wingers as an example of some atrocity, it's because the right-wingers and the Nazis are exactly the same. Oh, well. The co-founder of VoteVets.org, John Saltz, has a piece at Huffington Post the other day. He was a captain. He was in the military. He was in combat. He was a captain in Operation Iraqi Freedom. Yeah. And he writes, a couple of days ago, I chronicled the quickening departure of some big military names from the Republican Party, those concerned about the party moving even farther to the right on a number of issues, including torture. What struck me at the time is that General David Petraeus came out against torture and for closing Guantanamo. I was stunned, however, when he admitted last Friday that the United States has violated the Geneva Conventions. Without saying specifically how we did, though it doesn't take much imagination to figure it out, Petraeus was on Fox News, and this is what David Petraeus had to say.
Well, actually, what I would ask is, does that not take away from our enemies a tool which, again, they've beaten us around the head and shoulders in the court of public opinion? When we have taken steps that have violated the Geneva Convention, we rightly have been criticized. And so as we move forward, I think it's important to, again, live our values, to live the agreements that we have made in the international justice arena, and to practice those.
Yeah. Yeah, you see, he was on Fox News Sunday with one of these right-wing swine named Martha McCollum. And old Martha thought she was going to toss him a softball that he could hit right into right field. And she asked Petraeus his opinion of Obama's decision to end torture. And the other violations of the Geneva Conventions that Cheney and Bush and Rumsfeld and the rest of these monsters perpetrated. And Martha McCallum said to Petraeus, so we're sending the signal that we're not going to use these kind of techniques anymore. What kind of impact does this have on people who do us harm in the field that you operate in? You see what she was trying to get from him? And he answered, well, actually, what I would ask is, does that not take away from our enemies a tool which again have beaten us around the head and shoulders in the court of public opinion? And he goes on to say, when we have taken steps that have violated the Geneva Conventions, we rightly have been criticized. Oh, Martha McCallum at this nest of terrorists at Fox. I bet that was a pain up your hiney just at that moment, wasn't it? When General David Petraeus admits we have violated the Geneva Conventions, you half-wit. You should have seen the look on her face. So David Petraeus, Cheney, Rush, the rest of you right-wing pigs, what do you say about that, huh? Remember what all of you right-wing scum have been saying. The generals will get it right. The generals, listen to the generals. Barack Obama wants to, you know, stop the war and stop the killing. That's bull. Listen to the generals. Well, there's Petraeus. How about General Ricardo Sanchez, the former commander of all coalition forces in Iraq? What about him, you right-wing swine? In front of a packed audience Sunday night at the Times Center in New York City, Sanchez, the former commander of all coalition forces in Iraq, called for a truth commission to investigate the abuses and torture which occurred in Iraq. Ooh, Petraeus, Sanchez? These are both four-star generals, aren't they? Or is Sanchez? Yeah, I think Sanchez. Sanchez was a four-star general. Otherwise, he would be described as lieutenant general if he only had three. So here we have two four-star generals. Hey, little piglets. Hey, little cowardly sons of bitches in right-wing media. How do you respond to this? Huh? The general, Sanchez, described the failures at all levels of civilian and military command that led to the abuses in Iraq. He said, quote, and that is why I support the formation of a truth commission, end quote. General Sanchez went on to say that, quote, during my time in Iraq, there was not one instance of actionable intelligence that came out of these interrogation techniques, end quote. What? What? Not one instance of, well, that must mean Dick Cheney's a goddamn liar. Of course, you knew that. I know that. So does Sanchez. You know what? So does Petraeus. You know what else? So does McChrystal, the guy who's taking over in Afghanistan, the guy who read the Joint Special Operations Command, JSOC, the organization that's been described as Dick Cheney's personal assassination squad. McChrystal understood it, too. But apparently McChrystal, who is up for some questioning by the Senate Armed Services Committee tomorrow, you don't want to miss that. Apparently McChrystal operates outside, kind of like Colonel Kurtz in Apocalypse Now. He operates outside the strictures of conduct of war. But every one of these generals, they understand what torture is. You know why? Because any general in a command position understands that in the madness of war, in the sick insanity of people killing other people, you know, there has to be some rules. Why is that? Well, if there are no rules, when we capture their guys or they capture our guys, unthinkable things will be done. Because, you know, war is for one purpose, to kill everybody and destroy everything. So some genius came up with the idea, well, you know, war really is honorable. No, it's not. It's goddamn disgusting, murderous, pillage, killing, destruction. There's nothing honorable about war. But some genius came up with the idea, well, we have to protect the people who are caught. Because if one group of soldiers captures another group of soldiers on the other side of the where all the killing and murder is going on, the other side of the battlefield, there's going to be all kinds of atrocities perpetrated against them. So we got to have some rules. Every soldier who is in command of other men understands the importance of rules of conduct concerning war. Why? Because they don't want their men, their assets, the people that they send to go murder and die, diminished. If they start the force with 10,000 men, they would like to wind up with as many of those as possible. And any that are captured, well, when the war is over, we exchange prisoners and we get to start all over again in the next war. So it's strictly self-interest. And this is what the right-wingers can't understand because they have never served in combat. Most of them have never even been in the military. So when they talk about, well, you know, us on 24, tick, 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 you're goddamn right we got to torture. You know, the average, hell, the below average military commander, someone who is in charge of men, will understand right away that that's a coward talking. That is a freak talking. That is a jerk talking. So now we have Petraeus, we have Sanchez stating what you and I have known. A, torture doesn't work. B, it's a violation of the Geneva Conventions. C, the Bush crime family instituted, developed, and perpetrated torture. And D, there should be a truth commission. There should be an investigation to find out what these unconscionable son of a bitches did to put every single American in uniform and out of uniform forever at risk.
Talk radio done right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. So, General Rick Sanchez, the four-star general who at one time was the commander of all coalition forces in Iraq, all, is calling for a truth commission to investigate the abuses and torture which occurred in that brutalized country. He says, quote, if we do not find out what happened, then we are doomed to repeat it, end quote. And he says the American people need such a commission, quote, because the American people really know what happened. This was an institutional failure, a personal failure on the part of many, end quote. So not surprising, it is very obvious. You know, I asked a moment ago, how will the pig man and the rest of these rat bastards on right-wing radio and television, how will they handle Sanchez and Petraeus saying the things that they're saying? And the answer is very obvious. They ignore it. In their twisted world and the sick, twisted world of their listeners and viewers, these kinds of comments don't exist. They're not picked up by the scum over on Free Republic. They're not picked up by the scum who watch Fox News or the scum who blog these right-wing websites. Two former commanders of coalition forces in Iraq, two four-star generals, one who is now head of CENTCOM, the other one who is now retired, both of them talking about the violations of the Geneva Conventions, which is what torture is, and both of them, although one very obliquely and the other one very directly, calling for a commission to investigate the crimes perpetrated by the Bush administration. What will the right-wing scum do? They will ignore it. You realize then that there are millions of people in this country who will never have a clue that Petraeus said the United States under George Bush violated the Geneva Conventions. They will never have a clue that Ricardo Sanchez, former commander of all coalition forces in Iraq, like Petraeus after him, has called for a truth commission. They will never know that. Because their empty goddamn heads are banged up against people, scum like Bill O'Reilly and Beck and Limbaugh and Hannity, a collection of cowards and swine, I don't think, that has ever been put together before. I mean, Germany only had Goebbels. This country has five or six of these people. Seven, eight. Who are constantly, constantly destroying the United States. And who does anything about it? Nobody. Senator Patrick Leahy has called for a truth commission and set up a website to collect online signatures in support of the framework, which shows you right away what a cowardly son of a bitch Patrick Leahy is. He wants signatures? Hey, Senator, you're a senator. He's gotten 113,000 signatures since the site's launch in February. February, 113,000. Oh, for Christ's sake. So, Pat Leahy, what do you want, Pat? Huh? You mush-mouth freak. What do you want? You want... 30 or 40 million people to sign your little pissy commission or your petition so that it takes the pressure off you? What are you, Pat Leahy? Oh, that's right. Never mind. You're a senator and you're a member of the Democratic Party. That means you are gutless. You are surrounded by Nazis in the Senate. You are surrounded by them in the Bush crime family. You are surrounded by them in the judiciary. And you want the American people to sign your pissy little petition. Why don't you do something, Pat Leahy? You're a senator. You're the chairman of a very powerful committee. You coward. You Democratic coward. Just like the rest of you, like Harry Reid, like Nancy Pelosi. And even Henry Waxman, cowards, every one of you, stinking cowards. You are operating in a nest of vipers, and you don't have the courage to pick up a club and beat them over the head. You want the American people to sign your petition, your online petition. Give me a break. Sanchez is the first senior military officer from the Iraqi war that has called for a truth commission directly. Man. What? What is this? Dave is calling from Chicago. What are you saying, Dave?
Hey, Mike. I was checking out the Rick Sanchez show on CNN earlier today, and he was talking about Rick Sanchez's generals,
right.
You know, quote, and that, and I heard about it through that show.
Right.
I waited around for Wolf Blitzer to mention it. Nothing. He's got, like, what, 3 hours? And then there's Lou Dobbs, and, of course, Zip. Nothing.
No, Lou Dobbs didn't say a word. Let me put you on hold. I'll come back. I got to take a break here. Dave will come back. Yeah, we're not talking about Rick Sanchez on CNN. We're talking about General Ricardo Sanchez, the former commander of all coalition forces in Iraq. But no, I know what Dave is saying. Yeah, CNN Sanchez mentioned it, but nobody else did. No surprise there. Stay there, Dave. We'll pick it up when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. We have an open line here. 877-996-2556. Jump in here and join us. Welcome back, 7 past the hour. Let me see a show of hands. How many people did their homework?
Was that all?
Zeitgeistmovie.com. You can check it out anytime. Runs a couple hours. Get real good reception on a typical laptop. And then there's Zeitgeist Addendum. And again, I strongly recommend that you watch these movies. Go to this website, zeitgeistmovie.com. And you don't have to become a member of a cult. You don't have to all of a sudden make some big dramatic change in your life. But you should know about this stuff. You really should. And it doesn't cost you anything. Zeitgeist. The zeitgeistmovie.com or zeitgeistmovie.com. Check it out, because I didn't see a lot of hands go up. I did the homework. It took me a couple of nights because it's a long-ass movie, but, you know, I watched it, and I had done it backwards. I had saw the addendum part first and then Zeitgeist Movie. Although Kathy swears we saw the Zeitgeist Movie 6, 7, 8 months ago or a year ago, but... maybe she watched it. It will change your perception. May not change your mind, may not make you do anything different, but it'll change your perception of things. I promise you that. Oh, and by the way, have you signed up for the Malloy podcast yet? If you haven't, I hope you will. You heard the commercials that we run on the program here. It costs you just under $60 a year, which works out to $25 a show. We absolutely, positively need your support. We don't ask for any contributions or anything like that. But we do ask you to subscribe to the podcasts, commercial free. There are other things when you subscribe. By the way, we have a new Malloy's Uncensored Mailbag video up. For current podcast subscribers, just go to the website, MikeMalloy.com, and it's up. It's a little bit different this time. I let you in on a little inside stuff about how we handle most of the nutbag mail that comes in. The ones that are not uncensored mailbag video worthy. You know, the ones that just come from the knuckle draggers who can't spell. And so there's a little insight or inside stuff. Don't tell anybody, but you can. It's up right now. And for those of you who have been clamoring for another episode of Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe, we've had the script in hand, thanks to Bob Alexander, for 10 days at least. But we have really been hammered here in the Malloy studios and the Malloy household with just so much extracurricular stuff in addition to the program that we have yet to record it. And get it to our production chief, who is, that's Bob Alexander too, so that it can be made very listenable. But that will happen. We're hoping this week we will get all the tracks laid down. The, what do we call ourselves? The Mighty Malloy Radio Players, right? It does seem like a long time since we've had one of those up. Anyway, we will have that for you. That's still free. That still just comes with listening to the program. But we really would ask that you subscribe to the Malloy Podcasts. Go to MikeMalloy.com. The information is there, how you can do this. And it will cost you 25 cents a program. That is recession-proof. I swear it is. I realize we're all having rough times right now. And that's one of the reasons the price is so low, and it's going to stay low. Quarter a show. All right? MikeMalloy.com. Now, before the break, we were talking with Dave in Chicago. All right, Dave, thanks for holding on. I appreciate your patience.
Oh, no problem. No problem. I just wanted to jump in there because you were all over the Rick Sanchez thing, and, yeah. And I was thinking about it. I heard it on the Rick Sanchez show on CNN, and I just kind of came up with a funny thing. I was going to try to cap it off with a little bit of a joke there. Rick Sanchez of CNN and Rick Sanchez, the four-star general.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's seen them in the same room at the same time. but I got to say, that Rick Sanchez show, that's pretty decent. I got to say, he does a pretty good job. I've seen you on there. Again, Wolf Blitzer, zip, nothing. And he's got 3 hours.
Yeah.
He's got an hour, nothing. Fox News, I went over there, nothing.
Zip. Yeah.
I mean, you think about what a huge story that is, and nobody's talking about it. That's the story. The story is nobody's talking about it.
Well, that's one of the reasons Rick Sanchez, the TV guy, probably will not be on CNN very much longer, because Sanchez is still doing stories that are counter to what the corporatists want him to do. He only has an hour, and I enjoy his show when I have time to watch it. I used to appear with him occasionally. He would, his producer would invite me over, but it finally got to the point. They were looking for a crew, like, to come on 3 or 4 times a week. And I said, well, you're going to have to pay me then. I'm a member of the AFTRA union, and I can do occasional free spots, but I can't do this on a regular basis unless you pay me whatever the CNN minimum is. And that was the last time I heard from him.
I didn't know you were because you had AFTRA thing going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been a member of AFTRA for, I don't know, 14 years now.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm in the IATSE. I'm behind the scenes. You know?
You're what now?
IATSE.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's another good union. But, there are rules and regs what you can do and can't do up to a point. When you work in media, and after the American Federation of Radio and Television Artists, just like Screen Actors Guild, SAG, they're part of the same group now. You can or Actors Equity, you can go so far, and then you have to say, okay, look, my union requirements are as follows. Well, when I told the same, not Rick, but his producer in New York, they just sort of went, disappeared, which is okay. All right. Thanks, Dave.
Later on.
All right, man. Appreciate you checking in. Wolf Blitzer would, I don't think, unless, you know, maybe 24, 40 hours after the event, although it's been this was Sunday, and the MC or the facilitator, whatever you want to call her, of this event where Sanchez said what he said was Rachel Maddow. There were several people. It was in New York City. Rachel was the moderator. Is that what you call it? And when you have the former commander of all coalition forces in Iraq calling for a truth commission, oh, my God. Our military affairs correspondent writes in that Sanchez was a 3-star general, not 4. Okay. And Petraeus, Sharon writes, sent out a letter to all American forces serving in Iraq in May of 2007. Here's an excerpt, quote, this is from General David Petraeus. Some may argue that we would be more effective if we sanctioned torture or other expedient methods to obtain information from the enemy. They would be wrong. That means Cheney's wrong. Beyond the basic fact, Petraeus says, that such actions are illegal, history shows that they also are frequently neither useful nor necessary. Certainly, extreme physical action can make someone talk, quote, quote. However, what the individual says may be of questionable value. In fact, our experience in applying the interrogation standards laid out in the Army Field Manual shows that the techniques in the manual work effectively and humanely in eliciting information from detainees. End quote. Meantime, Dick Cheney is still running around like his ass is on fire. Where was he today? At the press club? Justifying once again the criminal activity, or attempting to justify. You cannot justify criminal activity. You simply cannot. But there he is, Dick Cheney, America's own war criminal of the highest order. Now at the National Press Club, you would think that the National Press would say, get out of here, you piece of human waste. What do you mean you want to come in here? Get out of here. But they didn't. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Because liberal is a good word. It's more Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. Now, here's another story that I have heard nothing about today. And Mayflower Mike just sent me the link. Apparently, at 10:30 this morning, a guy in Little Rock, Arkansas, who police say is a recent Muslim convert, opened fire with an assault weapon, an assault rifle, at an Army recruiting station in Little Rock. One soldier was killed. Another was injured. Carlos Bledsoe, 24, who is also known as Abdul Hakim Mujahid Muhammad, was arrested shortly after the soldiers were shot outside a recruiting office about 10:30 this morning. According to Little Rock Police Lieutenant Terry Hastings, quote, this individual appears to have been upset with the military, the Army in particular, and that's why he did what he did. He has converted to Islam here in the past few years. To be honest, we're not completely clear on what he was upset about. He had never been in the military, end quote. Maybe there was something that O'Reilly said that inspired him to walk into a military recruitment office and open fire. Bella writes, Mike, I'm a woman and a mother. O'Reilly is a psychopath. He and the GOP murder babies every time they drop bombs on pregnant women in countries decimated by U.S. bombs. If they love the unborn child so much, why do they cut or eradicate social programs that provide basic medical and social services that would help them flourish? O'Reilly and his lot remind me of the self-righteous, hypocritical religious leaders of the Dark Ages who presided over the witch trials. This time in history is a continuation of the Dark Ages, only fancied up in 21st century technology and a myriad of mind-controlling religions. Mike, the more things change, the more they stay the same. I am ashamed of the human species. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, she's singing my song. I wrote about that very same subject, self-same subject, in Kathy's diary today at MikeMalloy.com. And I also can't help but think, I didn't make the point about the Dark Ages redux, but it is like that. And I think about Sagan's Demon-Haunted World and also some of the writings of Richard Dawkins. And you notice how even as we mature intellectually as a species and so-called evolve, we still have the same bugbears. You know, I mean, today's space aliens were yesterday's, you know, haints in the sky and elves and dwarves and fairies. And, you know, we never rid ourselves of these demons, and therefore we'll never rid ourselves for, I believe, what is a genetic predisposition to believe in some kind of organized religion, some kind of grand unification theory for all of the scary, spooky things. I'm sorry, was I talking to you?
No.
No, it's just something that's been floating around in my head.
Right.
You know, the dark ages are today because we're still the same people mentally. We just have a different set,
yeah,
a different schema of demons. Right?
Absolutely right.
Am I keeping you awake?
No. I just I had to yawn there.
And the correct answer is no, but you're trying.
The story about the recruiters being shot, you would have known about that, or I would have known about it, had I gone to tvnewslies.org. Apparently they had it early today. And USA Today Online had it. Yeah, I should spend more time at some of these online sites, but some days I just can't. You know, I'd rather go down to our little community pool here with Molly, now that the pool is open, or something like that. But yeah, a very adroit site like TV News Lies will have it. Will have that kind of a story. Mainstream media, which is CNN, will not. At least not that I saw. Back to your phone calls. Jay is driving through Tennessee, listening on Sirius. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm all right. All right. Thank you.
I'll tell you, a weekend like this kind of mentally takes you to a pretty dark place. You know, it's in right-wing world, where torture is not torture, it's merely enhanced interrogation.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to do that against terrorists. I seem to believe that we may have fought a terrorist in Kansas.
Yeah.
Perhaps it's time to use enhanced interrogation techniques on this guy 183 times a month and ferret out his little terrorist cell, which, you know, just might happen to include people like Randall Perry or Bill O'Reilly or Pat Robertson.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if the shoe fits on one foot, perhaps the shoe might pinch a little bit on the other foot. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure. And I agree. Jay, thanks, man. I've got a break here. But I absolutely agree with your point of view. If we're going to define terrorism, then when the definition applies to some freak like this guy on Sunday, then that's a terrorist. I mean, if we, you know, words have meanings, have definitions. Thanks, Jay.
What if I told you?
Don't go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. I got an email here from Corey. I want to read it, and then we'll go back to your calls. Subject line, man, I have to stand up for some of the Christians. He writes, I completely understand that there are some really weird so-called Christians out there. The way you have characterized some of them, I have no argument with, but not all of them. It is the Christians I see rebuilding poor people's houses on the weekend. They are the ones who started an organization to rehabilitate drug addicts and help guys who have been released from prison to transition back into society. They've started the Women's Hope Clinic, Hope Medical Clinic. They do encourage women there not to abort. I've never known them to condemn these women if they do. They just let them know that there are other options and support them if they decide to take the pregnancy to full term. They have started the Mercy Medical Clinic. This is a group of Christian doctors and nurses who volunteer their time to help people who can't afford medical treatment. They have also started a shelter for battered women and also offer counseling to others struggling with life's problems in general. Now, most of these people probably do believe that if you aren't born again, you will go to hell. I don't know. But they also believe that you should back up love with action, and these people really do care about others, even if it doesn't mean they get a new member at church. Corey, look, I have no problem with good works. I think people helping other people is almost an elemental piece of human nature if we are to move toward our spiritual aspect. And by spiritual, it has nothing to do with religion, nothing to do with sky spooks or what happens after you die, whether you go to some nice place or some not nice place. No. That's not what the spirituality to me is, something you develop here and now. It's an extra dimension. So I have no problem with people behaving in a spiritual way, i.e. a way in which they help ease the suffering of their fellow human beings. But, as far as I'm concerned, to say that, and I realize you're not saying this, but to say that Christians are the ones who do this to me is kind of nonsense. In other words, I don't deny that Christians do perform some decent works every now and then, but you don't have to be a Christian to be someone who performs good deeds. As a matter of fact, throughout history, I would say that most of the people who have done good deeds are what the Christians would call secular humanists. So, who knows? But I appreciate your writing, Corey. All right, back to phone calls here. Grant is calling from Portland, listening online. Hey, Grant.
Hey, Mike.
How are you?
Very interesting. I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good.
Well, I wanted to bring something to your attention. I wanted to kind of highlight something. And I know that you're always itching for a snowball fight with the churchies. But...
Well, not really.
It seems like it.
No. I'm not looking for a fight at all. I just wish they would stop. I wish they would have stopped a couple thousand years ago. That's all. Just think of all the good that would have happened on this planet had we not had the Inquisition or the Crusades or the Dark Ages or any of the other horrors that have been wrought upon the human race by not just organized religion, but especially by the Christian church.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're at where we're at, but I wanted to bring three points actually out tonight. So if you'll indulge me, I'd appreciate it. What I wanted to talk about is something I actually heard a couple times along the way that I think Tom Hartman more recently sort of punctuated. And I don't think it can be stressed enough. Fundamentalism is idolatry. I mean, I know you may be a little uncomfortable with sort of the religious vernacular, but I'm going to dip into it because I think it fits. I mean, fundamentalism is a form of idolatry. It seems to inevitably end up murdering people in the name of something it doesn't even understand.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, like in your last email, the legitimate Christians, as I call them, they're abhorred by abortion. Okay. So what did they do? They get their money together and put it where their mouth is. They buy a property. They house the pregnant women. And they follow up to materially assist the nurturing of the child, right?
I think you're missing inadvertently a fundamental point. Not all abortions are abortions of choice because someone doesn't want to be a parent or someone doesn't want to...
I know that, but they always characterize it in the other fashion, don't they? They seem to want to characterize it for convenience as if it is a convenience, and
right.
It's not. See?
Yeah.
I mean, and this is the thing that I would frankly like to see more Christians come out saying, look, your fundamentalism is idolatry. And I'll tell you something. I mean, this is just... I have my own feelings and my own beliefs, but I'll tell you something. When they make their first kill in the name of whatever it is they think they're doing,
yeah,
they're putting themselves right in that crowd that has to forever live with the things ringing in their ears saying, I never knew you. You know, you can't just do this stuff in the name of something and it's all good. It never works out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I do, and I appreciate what you had to say, Grant. Regarding the issue of abortion, the fundamentalists seem to they cast abortion in the light of infanticide, which it is not. This is the part that drives me crazy. They use the term "killing babies." When abortion is performed during the first trimester, it is not a baby any more than a pack of tomato seeds are tomatoes. That's just not what's going on. They use the inflammatory language, and in so doing, they're presenting a false picture of something. To make it even worse, most of the fundamentalist anti-abortion people make it sound as though every abortion is something a woman just does for the hell of it. You heard O'Reilly tonight, maybe on our sound, the montage we had, where he said, this Dr. Tiller performs abortions. If a woman says her foot hurts, you know, not only is that a slanderous statement and something that typically would come from somebody like O'Reilly, it completely covers the fact that these late-term abortions are usually performed because of dire medical necessity, either on the part of the woman or the fact that this late-term late developed fetus is going to be, and I'll use the word, such a monstrosity that if it were born, it would have a horrific, horrible life. Not only itself, but anyone that had to take care of it. And I don't understand the attitude. You know, they talk about preborn children. They talk about murdering babies. This is lies. This is garbage. This is the kind of crap they dump out there. They talk about, 60 million babies have been murdered, or 200 million or half a billion since Roe v. Wade. And it's an obscenity. The obscenity is not the abortion. The obscenity is how they're talking about it. And that's the part that drives me crazy, and makes me just lose absolute respect for him. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Eric is calling from Portland.
Hi, Mike. Actually, on that point you just made, Amy Goodman interviewed two of his colleagues this morning.
Yeah.
And one of those monstrosities they talked about was a New Zealand couple that wanted to have the child and carried it to the 30th week until they found out the child had no brain.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, Dr. Tiller was one of the few people in the world that would actually be able to, you know, help them out.
Right.
And it's not that they wanted it to happen, of course, but you can imagine, as you were just discussing, what that child would go through and what they would go through.
Right. Well, this is the thing that these right-wing nutcases, I'm not talking about the anti-abortion, I'm talking about people like O'Reilly, that they are so dishonest. Let's have O'Reilly and his partner get pregnant, and then have a doctor tell them in the seventh month, oh, guess what? excuse me, your child is going to be born with no eyes, no digestive system, and no feet. Now, what are you going to do about it? You know, and I know both what O'Reilly or anyone else would say. Okay, we have to end this. We have to terminate this pregnancy. Now, if that is murdering a baby, if we can determine that in the instance you use, that a fetus that develops without a brain, if that's a baby, then I've got the definitions completely wrong.
Yeah, that's exactly. The only difference is also someone like O'Reilly would do that and then come and condemn everyone else doing the same thing the next day.
Absolutely. Hey, I got to leave there. Thanks, Eric. I appreciate you checking in. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. I'm a soldier in the army. It is 10 before the hour. Thanks to our crew tonight, Ben Birch, our technical advisor, Sharon Gordy, military affairs correspondent, Bruce Enberg, our economic correspondent, Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf, who provide ethical input to the program, and our executive producer and engineer is Kathy Bay. All right, back to your phone calls. Bill is calling from New Jersey, listening online. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Bill.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'd do a lot better.
I found another superhero that you're analogous to, one of my favorite comic book heroes. It's his little poem, and he used to say, I never forgot, in brightest day and darkest night, let no evil escape my might, beware the power of Green Lantern's light. You're a Green Lantern.
The Green Lantern, oh my God.
But that's not why I called.
Well,
I have a comical solution to the North Korea problem. I'm sorry to get off topic, but I just wanted to lighten things up for you, as you do.
Sure.
And it should happen at night. Send some stealth in with sleeping gas and put the entire country of North Korea to sleep. And then follow them with C-180 Starlifters and either take all the weapons out of Korea and drop them into the ocean, or drop troops to disable all the weapons, and then they can just pin a note on Kim Jong-il's chest and say, night, night.
Yeah, that is a comic book scenario. it sure is. I wish there was a way to do that. Of course, if there was that kind of soporific or a drug that would make everybody go to sleep so the weapons could be taken, somebody would have dropped it on us years ago. Because, you know, we still, we're the only country that's ever dropped nuclear weapons on another population, civilian population. We didn't drop nuclear weapons in a war zone. We dropped them on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. A, B, we are the country that provides most of the weaponry, lethal weaponry, to countries around the globe. C, the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us about now runs the United States. So that kind of a drug would be great, only let's use it here.
Yeah.
Let's use it here. The North Koreans are a little pimple and with their military. Granted, they could do a lot of damage to South Koreans. They certainly could. But as far as the global scenario, they're a pimple. United States is a Mount Everest of destruction, and we will continue to be as long as we have 9,000 usable nuclear warheads, which is what we have right now, I believe. So I hear you. But, we are the global exporter of death and destruction, number one. I think the Soviet Union or Russia now is number two. I don't know who number three is, but we're number one. So that's another reason that it's hard for me to, stand up and salute the flag when it passes by. You understand what I mean by that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a shame. All right, thanks, Bill. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Thank you. Thank you, Bill. I know that was an attempt at humor. I understand. I do. I really do. I wish there was some way we could laugh at some of this stuff. Jay is calling from Gainesville, Florida. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Mike. Good to talk with you. I had an experience yesterday I thought you might be interested in. On advice of a colleague, I went to church for the first time in as many years as I can't remember. Universal Assembly of Christ Church. And it was a great experience walking in, very positive, a lot of positive electricity or vibe in the air. But once the pastor started talking, some red flags started coming up. The sermon was about fear God, not man, and sacrifice, and their mission in Afghanistan. And then it went to abortion and comparing it to the slavery issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it got a little scary because it got political. And then, I started noticing what I would call incongruency or flat-out hypocrisy around me,
mm-hmm.
in that the two flat-screen panel TVs they had flashing the songs to sing along with, the musical instruments, the acoustic panels, the pens in the pews, all made in China, where there's forced abortion.
Right.
And so I brought that up with some of the people on the way out, and you know, they were not receptive to that sort of a message from me.
Right.
And so I think that it's this guy was brought in, this pastor was brought into a dying church, and now it's growing, and there was about 1,000 people there, mm-hmm. and that was one of four sermons that day they were doing
wow.
in a small town in Florida.
Right.
And, you know, just the hypocrisy of rallying against abortion in a church filled with things made in China.
Well, yeah, and I think anyone who wants to check, and thanks, Jay, I'm familiar with Gainesville, Florida. I've spent a lot of time down there. Anyone who is familiar with religion, and it doesn't have to be just Christianity, although that's the one I'm the most familiar with. It's not Hinduism or Islam or Judaism. It's Christianity, because that's how I was brought up or brainwashed. But what you begin to notice is hypocrisy in everything. Everything. I defy someone to show me anything about the practice of Christianity today that is not soaked in hypocrisy. You know, when people say they're against abortion because it's baby killing, and yet will support forever the use of the United States military to go into civilian areas like, oh, I don't know, pick a place, Fallujah comes to mind, in Iraq, and the absolute indiscriminate murder of children. No, I'm sorry. That to me is the kind of hypocrisy that would make an average normal human being throw up. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Provider and licensing.